Scripture for this evening are just two of those verses from the reading that we had in the Advent reading, verses 13 and 14 of Luke chapter 2. These are the words. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Congregation of Christ, the story of the birth of Jesus is no doubt familiar to nearly all of us. But hopefully it's not so familiar that we failed to be moved by it when we hear it retold. That's a very real danger. It's a danger which comes from hearing the story so many times that your heart is no longer moved. And you say to yourself, "Heard that before. So what?" Well, if my heart isn't moved when I hear the story of Jesus' birth, then the question I should be asking is, what's wrong with my heart? When Jesus took on human flesh and came into the world, it caused the angels to sing. No sooner had they announced the good news to those shepherds in the Judean hills than the sky was filled with a multitude of angels. I'll call it a choir. And the song they sang was the very first Christmas song. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." It was a song sung by a choir of angels. There are several songs recorded in Luke's account of Jesus' birth. I mentioned some of them earlier. The song of Zechariah the priest at the birth of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. There's a song that Mary broke into when the angel announced to her that she would bear the Christ. A little later, when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem, Luke records a song that that old man Simeon sang when his eyes beheld the promised, long-awaited Messiah. But the song that we're considering tonight was not sung by men, by human beings. It was sung by angels. Angels. Those heavenly beings that surround the throne of God. Or as the Christmas hymn calls them, angels from the realms of glory. They're beings of such splendor that sometimes they're called angels of light. Well, the word angel means messenger. And when they appear on earth to bring messages to men, they almost always have to start out by saying, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." For the sight of an angel is so overpowering that human knees grow weak and strength evaporates. It's an awesome thing to be visited by an angel of God. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Those are the holy angels. But there also was a fall into sin among the angels, long before Adam and Eve fell into sin. The holy angels are those who kept their first estate and didn't fall into sin. They didn't follow Satan, who conspired against God and dragged with him one-third of the number of the angels, referred in the Bible often as the stars of heaven. But when you think about a passage like our passage in Luke, knowing that angels had a fall too, and that Christ didn't stoop from his throne to become one of them and to die for them, he left those angels that sinned in darkness until the day of judgment. Well, that should be a reminder to us about how holy those angels who sang at Christ's birth really were.
Those angels that sang that night didn't envy men. They didn't murmur against their master that he had sent his son into the world to save fallen humanity. But he didn't take upon himself an angel's form to save them.
The Bible says that the things of our salvation are things that angels long to look into.
They would desire to have that salvation themselves, but they don't desire it with sinful envy.
Jesus himself taught that the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner returns to God.
They're so free from envy that they can acknowledge God's sovereign right to give salvation to whoever he wills.
And yet they never complain or harbor sinful jealousy.
The holy angels are also free from pride. Just think about who they sang to. They sang to shepherds in the Judean hills. They had so much joy in singing before the shepherds. They had as much joy singing before them as they would have if they were called into the palace of Caesar himself in Rome to sing.
We human beings think that it's a great thing to preach or to perform before kings and great people of the earth. And often we despise the thought of ministering to a more humble crowd. But not the angels, not the holy angels.
There's no pride in them, just as there's no envy. Only holy joy.
And when you turn from thinking about the angels themselves to the song they sang,
wow, what a song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. They began by singing glory to God. Not just praise to God, although they were praising him, they said glory.
Glory is one of those words that Christians use a lot, but when somebody asks us to define it, we have a hard time often giving a definition of what it means. So let me try to give you a definition.
Glory, as it relates to God, is the manifestation of his perfections. And when God sent his Son into the world, clothed in human flesh to be the Savior, it manifested something about God's perfection that had been hinted at and hoped for, but until then had not been made known. The angels knew that God was holy and righteous.
They knew that sinful beings cannot stand in his presence and that God cannot tolerate evil.
They knew the righteous judgment of God, which had said, the soul that sins shall die. And they also knew that God was long-suffering, even with evildoers. They had observed all throughout human history that the Almighty was a merciful and a forgiving God. They knew all these things.
And I think it's safe to assume that just as we sometimes have problems reconciling God's justice and holiness with his love and forgiveness, they did too.
But when God sent his Son into the world, he revealed his perfections in such a way that the courts of heaven were filled with awe and wonder. The holy God of heaven had undertaken to save fallen men and women from Adam's race by sending his only begotten Son to take on their flesh and blood and to live the kind of righteous life that they were intended to live but had failed at miserably. and to die in their place on a cross of wood for their sins. That God would condescend to do such a thing was a display of His glory and perfection, the likes of which they had never known before. No wonder the angels cried out, "Glory! Glory to God! Glory to God in the highest."
Those words, "in the highest," shouldn't be taken to mean in the highest degree, although that would be quite true. If that were the meaning, the word would be singular in the Greek, but it's not singular, it's plural. What it's saying is, glory to God in the highest heavens. Not just the heaven that we call the sky, not just the expanse of space we call the heavens, where the stars and the planets have their homes. This glory was manifested in the highest heaven, in the very courts where God has His special presence. There His glory was manifested. God had a plan to redeem mankind, and it centered around the Son of God, whom angels had worshipped and adored in heaven, and who had come to earth as a baby. Justice and mercy had met and kissed each other with the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. But there was more than glory to God in the highest heaven. The coming of the Savior into the world brought peace on earth. Here, I should just note that our English Bibles give different readings of this part of the angel's song. The familiar King James says, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." More recent translations based on better and older texts read, "Peace on earth to men on whom His favor rests." Or as the ESV, which we read tonight, says, "On earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." The difference, it's a manuscript difference, and it's one letter in Greek. And really, based on the manuscripts, the newer translations are correct here. Which means that this simply isn't a general announcement of peace and goodwill. It's a statement that God has caused His peace to come to men. The "on earth peace" spoken of here, it's not the cessation of wars. It's not that kind of peace at all. Nor does it mean the cessation of conflicts in human relationships. Jesus made that very clear during His earthly ministry. One of the things He said was, "Think not that I have come to bring peace on earth. I've not come to bring peace, I've come to bring a sword." When the salvation of Christ comes, wars don't suddenly end, even wars in families. Hostile relationships aren't automatically mended. Jesus said that He came, in one sense, not to bring peace, but division. Because of His coming, a man would be divided against his father, a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a man's enemies would be members of his own household. The peace on earth the angel sang of was something else. What was it? Well, it was peace with God through Jesus Christ. It was the peace that comes when sinners who are God's enemies are turned into sons and daughters of God through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It was the peace of justification by faith, of which the Apostle Paul writes, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God."
It's the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The guilty conscience is gone because Christ has taken away the guilt of our sin. He's completely taken away the wrath of God we so truly deserved. That's the peace that was heralded as coming to earth that first Christmas night. It wasn't the cessation of wars or human conflict. It was the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in His wings to make man right with God, granting them peace with God. And the next words are, among those with whom He is pleased. In the ESV's translation, or if you're still using the NIV, to men on whom His favor rests. This peace, brought about through the incarnation and reconciling work of the Son of God, has come to men. Men, males and females, humanity, the seed of Adam, are the ones to whom God has shown His favor, not to angels who fell, but to fallen humans. God was pleased to show fallen humanity His undeserved favor, His grace. But why did God choose to show mercy to the fallen race of Adam who sinned, but not to the angels who sinned? No reason is ever given in the Bible other than the sovereign good pleasure of God. God was pleased to grant peace on earth to men by sending His Son into the world. There's nothing else to say in answer to that question. God has the right to bestow His salvation on the sons of Adam who fell, but to confine the angels who fell to chains of utter darkness awaiting the final condemnation. The wonder is not that, as the Bible says, he spared not the angel who fell, the angels who fell. The wonder is that He brought peace and forgiveness to the fallen race of Adam. He wasn't under the obligation to save anyone, but He sent Christ into the world to redeem for Himself a people. Now, if that doesn't thrill your heart must be made of stone. The thought of that caused the angels who were there when Jesus was born to sing in exultation. So let me ask you the most important question of all on this Christmas Eve. Certainly not going to ask you whether you've heard the Christmas story before. Hardly anybody can say that this is new to their ears. And the point really isn't how many times you've heard it before. The question is, are you rejoicing in it? Have you come to know the joy that the angels had when they sang that song the first Christmas? And are you rejoicing in it now? And if you're not rejoicing in it, why not? More often, if we're not rejoicing in it, it's because we've set our hearts on something else. We're looking for joy somewhere where true joy is not to be found. Joy like the angels had only comes from receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and King, and from experiencing the peace of God that floods your soul when your sins are washed away with His blood. If that's not your greatest joy and delight, you're missing out on the greatest joy there is in all the world. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings. Risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth.
hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you that you came. You came to earth. You left your glory in heaven and came to be born among us. And the angels were there when you were born because heaven couldn't contain its joy. Oh Lord, may we know that joy. May we have it in our hearts as an experience of having you as our Lord and Savior and King. And we pray that we will live lives worthy of you to give you glory because we trust in you, the only Savior, the only King, the only source of eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We celebrate your birth. Amen.